So the epistle for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Ephesians chapter 6. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put you on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day and to stand in all things perfect. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of justice, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and all things taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the most wicked one, and take unto you the helmet of salvation, and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 18. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to take the account, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. And as he had wherewith to pay it, his Lord commanded that he should be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made to him. But that servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And the Lord of that servant, being moved with pity, let him go and forgave him the debt. But when that servant was gone out, he found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence. And laying hold of him, he throttled him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." And his fellow servants, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he paid the debt. Now his fellow servants, seeing what was done, was very much grieved, and they came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord called him and said to him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest now thou then have had compassion also on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee?" And his Lord, being angry, delivered him to the torturers until he paid all the debt. So also shall my heavenly Father do to you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, in this month of November, as I mentioned to you, it is the month that is dedicated to the poor souls in purgatory. It is an opportunity, a chance for us to remember these poor souls, you know, our family, our friends, obviously fellow parishioners that have passed on. We are truly blessed to have a cemetery on our property, because it gives us the opportunity to not only gain the indulgence for the poor souls, it gives us the chance to visit the cemetery very often, to pray for the poor souls, as I mentioned, for family members, for fellow parishioners. But I think it also is a constant reminder to us. It is a reminder of the fleetingness of life. It is a reminder to us to see that we are not meant for this world. And so that is why then the church in this month of November, it reminds us so often in praying for the poor souls. If you see throughout the liturgy, especially as we start ending the liturgical year, there is this reminder to us of the fleetingness of life, of how souls will cry out for the help from Almighty God. And so that helps us, and it should, to give us a greater fervor, a greater desire to pray for the poor souls, to go out and to visit the cemetery, to pray for the souls that we know. But it's always a good habit then to pray for the poor souls, the souls that are maybe in most need of God's mercy, or those souls that are so close to getting out of purgatory, of trying to help and free them. And then just to think about these poor souls, that as they leave purgatory, as they make it up to heaven, the goal for all of us, of how they will remember these people that prayed for them, of how they will remember who offered the sacrifices, who offered the masses for them, or put their names on the altar. They will remember those souls because it will be a grace that God will give to them. To return, we can say, that favor. that they in turn, now that they see Almighty God, that they will try to intercede for all of us. And so we see how truly we can even benefit from the poor, visiting for the poor souls. Not that that should be our only intention. Obvious, our intention should be to help them and to free them, because we are part of the mystical body of Christ. And we can see the three parts of the mystical body of Christ. I mentioned it briefly in the sermon for Christ the King. You know, the reminder to us. We are the church militant. We are still fighting for our souls. But then we have the church triumphant, which we celebrated on November 1st. The souls that have been successful, they reach their end. But then the church suffering. Those souls that are truly suffering. And that is a thing that I encourage you to maybe try to read more about purgatory. Because we certainly don't want the understanding that, well, we'll just live our life in order to try to get to purgatory. Because if we understand what purgatory is like, we would not want to have to even stop there. We would want to try to get to heaven right off the bat. Because the fires of purgatory are the same as the fires of hell. That we have seen with many spiritual authors. We have seen the saints that have had the visions. But it is the same fire that burns and to purify these souls. And so truly we do not want to have to stop there. I mean, granted, if our choices are purgatory or hell, well, yes, we'll take purgatory. Because at least we know it ends at some point. But when we think about the suffering that those souls undergo, that is why it should give us a greater fervor to try to pray for these souls, to try to offer sacrifices for them, to try to help release them from what they are suffering. And that is something that probably all of us will have, whether family or friends, that are maybe suffering in purgatory. And so we need to try to help release them by praying for them at Mass, by having Masses offered for the poor souls in purgatory. I mean, taking these opportunities that we can offer, the sacrifices that we undergo, the crosses and trials that come to us, to offer them for the poor souls, to release these poor souls. As I say, just to try to take advantage for those souls that are maybe so close to getting out, that can you imagine if, because of our sacrifice, or the Mass that we offer, the Holy Communion that we give for them, that they are released because of that? I mean, can you imagine the joy that they will have in remembering us? That we have this opportunity. We have this chance. And as I say, if we can try to gain the plenary indulgences attached for the poor souls these first 8 days, I mean, giving that opportunity for them, that all of the temporal punishment would be released for them. That is what we understand with a plenary indulgence. I mean, again, we have so many chances that the church gives to us. I mean, do we understand and fully comprehend what the church offers to us? I mean, for any of us to gain a plenary indulgence, we can gain a plenary indulgence, say, when we attend the first Mass of a newly ordained priest. I mean, do we understand what that can give to us? That if we have the proper dispositions, if we go through the necessary requirements for that, that all of the punishment that is due to our sins would be wiped out. That if we were able to gain that plenary indulgence at that moment, and we were to die, we would go straight to heaven. We would never have to pass any time in purgatory. So that is what we can gain for the poor souls, those souls that are suffering then. We can gain that plenary indulgence for them. Do we think about that when we pass the cemetery, when we drive around it? I mean, have we made that attempt each day? I mean, that should be something that pushes us to try to then come to Mass, to offer our Mass for the poor souls, to then go over and visit the cemetery. I mean, think of those lost graces for those souls. But as I say, the lost graces for our own soul, that we don't have the time to make a short visit to the cemetery. I mean, are we that busy with our lives that we forget these poor souls that are suffering? They have no means of gaining any merit any longer. I mean, that is what we say when we're wayfarers in this life. We have a chance to try to gain merit every day of our life. Through the graces we receive, through the masses we attend, the prayers that we say, we can still gain merit for our soul. We can still do something that will help us to get to heaven. But when we die, that chance for merit any longer is completely stopped for our own soul, unless someone gains merit for us. And that is where we can help the suffering souls in purgatory. That is where, as a part of the church, we can help the church suffering through our prayers, through our sacrifices. We can help them. But as I say, are we that busy with our lives that we can't make an attempt to come over to the cemetery? Or it's too cold for us? I mean, do we realize what we're losing out for these poor souls? That we have this chance to gain for them a plenary indulgence. They will not forget that. Because as I say, if we're the ones that because of our visit to the cemetery, or because we offered our Mass for them, or our Holy Communion, that they're freed. Many of the theologians say that God gives them the grace to see who is that soul. So therefore that they will try to pray for us. Can you imagine then the intercessors we will have in heaven? Because we are faithful to the poor souls in purgatory. And as I say, do more reading about what they suffer, because hopefully then it will keep us from trying to go there. Because also we have to realize, anytime that we shoot for something, we always end up probably less than that. So if you're shooting for purgatory, there's only one place below that. So that's why we should be shooting for the highest place in heaven, so God willing that we'll sneak by into heaven. I mean, that's what we must be trying to do. We must be trying to become a saint, not just, well, you know, I'll take it as the day comes, and then maybe at the very end I'll make my deathbed conversion or whatever, and I'll sneak into purgatory, and then I'll be there for a little while, and then so. Good luck. I mean, if we knew what the suffering was like in purgatory, we would not want to be there. We would do anything we can to try to avoid being there so we can get straight to heaven. I mean, one of the things when you think about St. Catherine of Siena. So here you have a great saint. She was given a vision of God at the age of 4. And so through that time, she had the dialogues with Almighty God. And so she had this constant, we can say, contact with God. And as her father was getting older, as he was going to lose his life, God appeared to her and told her that her father would have to suffer a long time in purgatory. So St. Catherine of Siena asked God, she said, can I suffer it for him? Can I take on that pain so that he will not have to? And so God gave it to her. He gave her this suffering in order to free her father. And so for the rest of her life, she suffered excruciating pain. Because she was suffering for what her father would have to have suffered. And so he appeared to her and thanked her for what she offered for him. I mean, talk about a dedicated daughter. That she would be willing to take on that suffering, realizing what it would be like. And so here we have a saint. But she accepted that in order to free him from what he would have to suffer. And so she talks about the excruciating pain that she underwent. She talked about how it was so, what a torment it was. And so if we think that purgatory is just, okay, well, it's just a waiting ground until we are able to get to heaven, think again. I mean, yes, it's a waiting ground, but we have to be purified. And we're purified by the fires. And so when we think about maybe our loved ones that have passed on, do we pray for them? Do we remember them? I mean, how often we have that understanding of once someone is gone, they are forgotten. God forbid if that's how we treat our family and our friends, our fellow parishioners. And hopefully we don't have that mentality. Hopefully that we continue to pray for them, that we continue to offer sacrifices for them. I mean, that is the whole purpose of the memento for the dead in the Mass. You remember your family, your friends, at that point. Hopefully we don't just pass over that point as we speed read the Mass. Hopefully you realize that the memento for the living, the memento for the dead, it is meant for us to mention the names of our loved ones, those that we want to remember at that point, in order to try to gain the graces from the Mass itself. And that is why, I mean, I was edified to learn about our practice, evidently you've had here, about the soul bags, the understanding of really what does that mean. And I thank the ones that came and filled all the soul bags. God reward you for that. So that the children would have, one, the candy, yes, fine. Their children, maybe some adults need the same thing, but that's okay too. But the whole purpose behind it was you put the name of a soul, a poor soul, in that bag. And the object was you fill the bag with 30 pieces of candy, and for 30 days of November that they would pray for this soul, then they would get a piece of candy, kind of as a reward. It's children, or big children as adults. We still need that sometimes. But the intention was to try to help them to pray for that soul every day of November. So children, a reminder, hopefully you're doing that. Hopefully you haven't just eaten all the candy, and then maybe eaten the piece of paper with the name on it. Hopefully not. Hopefully you are praying for that soul every day. I mean, that is a great practice that we even follow. We're following that in Fort Collins now. I just spent last Sunday, or the Holy Day, November 1st, filling all the bags for the children with some of the parishioners there, coming up with names of parishioners, coming up with names of family and friends, so that we can pray for them too. And that is a great practice to illustrate for your children. As I said, you know, this Halloween garbage. What purpose does that solve? What does it bring for our children? A complete misunderstanding of what it's about. And so hopefully, you know, you've gotten rid of that from your past. And that you will see and dedicate yourself to the poor souls. And trying to help your children to understand that. If we can develop in our children a love for the poor souls and to pray for the poor souls, we will have holy children. Because the poor souls will remember them. But if we're all oblivious to all of this, and we just live our lives, we're in for a rude awakening. As I said, if we only realized what purgatory was like, we would try to do everything we could to avoid it. I mean, granted, it may be, you know, the last-ditch effort help for us to avoid hell, well, fine. But God willing, we're living our lives to become saints. That our feast day will be November 1st. I mean, God willing, that is how we're living our lives. But we cannot forget November 2nd in the poor souls. And this whole month, we must try to remember them. We must try to pray for them, and we must sacrifice for them. I mean, that is what is important for us to understand. That is what it means to be a member of the mystical body of Christ. Is that we work and we sacrifice for our soul to get to heaven, but then we also try to take care of the other souls. Just as the saints intercede for us. I mean, it's sad if all we do is we just pray to the saints when we need something, and that's it. The saints are there to help us to get to heaven by their example. But then we're also hoping to try to help the poor souls in purgatory get to heaven. I mean, they died, but at least they died in the state of grace. They saved their soul. But we need to get them out of there. We need to try to help and push them out of purgatory. And so that is what this month is for. So I encourage you to read more about purgatory. There's a book by Father Scoop that he has a whole book on purgatory. And then also St. Catherine of Genoa, she had many visions of what purgatory was like. I mean, the more that we understand, the more that we read, the more that it will hopefully help us to stay out of there. That we will live our lives with the intention that we need to get to heaven and heaven only. And that is what we must try to do. And so do pray for the poor souls. Offer sacrifices for the poor souls. Give up things. Offer things for them. They will reward you. I mean, it will not be just empty things that we do for them. And that is a true understanding of a charity and a love for God, is by doing things for other souls. And so I encourage you to take advantage of what you have. You're blessed to have a cemetery on your property, that you can go from Mass to visit the cemetery. And I've seen a lot of families after school that they will take their children over there. And that is a great habit to show to your children. And some of the teachers have brought the children over during the school day. It is great for us to do that, to give them that proper understanding that we are all in this together to try to get to heaven. That as a mystical body of Christ, we are meant to try to help each other get to heaven, because that is our goal. And so let us pray for the poor souls in purgatory. Let us offer sacrifices so that all of us will be reunited in heaven. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.